This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon. Welcome to hour number two. We're having a little technical difficulty on mic number one today. Joe Geiger with me. Ben Botham just took the rest of the show off. He's headed to, I don't know why he'd want to go, but he's 25 years old. He's going to Gasparilla. We got our own Gasparilla down here with Royal Rumble on this 27th of January. I didn't invite any guests down today because I didn't want them to have to come down here. Parking's going to be absolutely brutal. 42,000. Joe Geiger, of course, one of my high school gurus, sitting to my right. And, of course, he is the producer and the host of Bump That Media. Each and every Friday from noon to 2, you can hear it on RadioSt.Pete.com on our Florida Sports Stream channel. And they're already here. They've already started to invade Fergs. They're up here playing foosball. And I saw a kid at 10 o'clock this morning. I mean, this thing doesn't start till 8 o'clock. 42,000 strong, but we talked about it. Makes sense because you're just going to have the ring in the middle of the baseball field.
Yeah, no, there it is. Seems like they're ready to go already. I saw when I walked down here to get here, there was a couple belts on the table. And
what's the deal with everybody? Everybody has a belt.
Well, I guess that's the champion's belt. I don't know. I'm not a big WWE guy, but
well, we've got somebody who's gonna arrive. Michael Lortz, he'll update us and he'll give us the in-depth behind the scenes on first of all the fanaticism behind it. It's nothing more than theater, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a freaking cash machine.
Hey, whatever works.
They print money so much so that McMahon just wrote a check for $12 million for harassment charges and stepped down as the
I did see that.
The CEO and the head honcho. I think it's about the second or third time he's had to do something like that. But Vince McMahon, he's an interesting cat. But it will be it'll be great for the economic impact down here, and certainly Ferg's treating it like opening day. We're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor Coca-Cola Beverages, and of course Ice Pick. There'll be a lot of Ice Pick vodka being consumed in the next 8 hours down here. Ice Pick vodka, come on down and have a Champa Bay. It's a great refreshing beverage from our good friends over there at Sea Dogs Brewery. And of course each and every Monday you can hear us over there with a Big Monday, and that's Oscar Garner III and Alex Rebo. We'll be talking everything from NBA, NCAA, college basketball. Take a look back at the playoffs that take place tomorrow. Predictions on the Super Bowl. And then, of course, Alex Rebo loves his baseball. He works for the Rays in the analytical world. He'll be breaking down the 2024 season as well in the Rays' moves. Probably get you involved in those conversations because I know that's the direction you want to go, young man. But right now, you've got your finger on the pulse with high school, so let's dive into the scores and what's going on. Brad Richardson took the day off, so Joe Geiger, take it away, my man.
All right. So we'll start off with some boys' soccer as the soccer season is approaching. They're into the playoffs, the district playoffs. Round one was this week. But the boys and girls PCAC games were also this week last weekend. And for the boys soccer PCAC, the Osceola Warriors came out as champions. They tied 0-0, but then won in PKs 7-6. And then in the girls soccer PCAC, it was the same two teams, Palm Harbor and Osceola, but Palm Harbor girls beat Osceola 3-0. So girls PCAC champ, Palm Harbor, boys PCAC champ, Osceola. And now, onto the district playoff scores. Going to have four districts we're going to look at here. 5A District 9, Round 1, St. Pete beat Clearwater 1-0. Seminole beat Hollins 9-1. They'll both advance. 4A District 11, Boca Ciega beat Lakewood 2-0. And Bayshore beat Gibbs 5-0. 7A District 7, Round 1, Riverview, the first upset, beating Sumner 4-2, and Plant beating Alonzo 5-2. 6A District 10, Hillsborough and Countryside, a 2-2 tie, and then they got into go into penalty kicks, where Hillsborough came out on top with a 7-6 shootout win. And then Sickles beat Lido 1-0 to advance to the second round. On now, same districts for girls soccer, 5A District 9, Northeast beat Clearwater 8-0, St. Pete beat Hollins 8-0. And then 4A District 11, they only had five teams in this one, so only one game in round one. That was Bayshore and Booker, where Bayshore beat Booker 2-1. 6A District 10, Hillsborough beat Lido 3-2, and Largo beat Pinellas Park 3-0. And lastly, in 7A District 7, Plant beat Sumner 4-2, and Alonzo beat Riverview 8-0. Next week is round two and the district championships.
One thing that I don't like about high school soccer, and I feel sorry for the kids, but that's why we have the Champions League and the opportunity for kids to participate, is the time of year they have it. You've got Thanksgiving break, and you played Thanksgiving break, and so you take a week off, and I'm sure you have practice, but there's no competition. Then you go a couple weeks, and then you have Christmas break, right? And that's a couple of weeks typically. You practice, but no competition, and then you have to get back into the competitive side of things, and that's got to be a little concerning for the coaches and the flow. Would you agree?
Yeah, no. Soccer is definitely the quickest season. They get it in there pretty fast, and yeah, like you said, you got 3 weeks of only a 2-month season that are already cut out because of Christmas break and Thanksgiving break, and for soccer, it takes a minute to get back ramped up because that's a lot of running, a lot of agility. You got to let your muscles get back into it, and it's definitely tough to have those breaks, and then right when you get back, you're back right into playing. Three games a week, two games a week, and then now in the playoffs.
Well, another thing, and I'm certain of this, there isn't a lot of school, let's just say pride, or the students even get behind or even know that you guys are playing soccer. Is that pretty accurate? Let's say even a bogey.
Yeah, no. I mean, a lot of people just look at soccer and think it's boring, it's stupid, only some those kids play, but. I'll admit, soccer's not the most fun thing to watch, but when you get down there and play it, it's actually one of the more fun sports to play, and it is really hard, no matter what people say. It's one of the tougher sports, and yeah, nobody watches soccer games. I mean, you got your parents. Actually, a lot of my baseball friends, they came out and watched me, which was cool of them, and they all...
Because you play baseball, football, and soccer.
Yeah, and they all made themselves look like fools, chanted random things, so that was kind of fun a couple times, but other than that, no, not really anybody else.
Well, and the thing about it, with school being out of session, they forget completely about you, and I think that's kind of sad. Now the powerhouses, like we talk about Palm Harbor and the CCCs, and those schools, it's a sport they're very proud of.
Yeah, I mean,
they promote, and the school and the students in the hallways, they know who we are, and you guys are, a highly ranked, and we'll make it to state soccer team.
Yeah, private schools definitely have it a little more easy. I mean, they got super nice facilities. They got the social media platforms, the amount of kids to promote all the stuff they're doing. And just they get a lot of people that want to play soccer there, too. And compared to like a bogey where...
Well, they transfer there.
Yeah, you might not get even... You might get 20 kids at tryout compared to like, a team like that. They'll probably have hundreds.
Hey, did you hear me talking earlier? I mentioned before I went out on the air. Yesterday, Coach Sean Davis of the Northeast Vikings was down here at Ferg's. And Anthony Johnson, his son, who was drafted in the seventh round, the last round of the NFL draft from Iowa State University. And he was a tremendous safety and cornerback. He played both. And the Green Bay Packers picked him up. He made the roster with special teams. And now, with some injuries, had a vital role in their success this year. Well, he came down, and we sat and visited about, you just mentioned it, we talked about NIL, transfer portal, and he said, you would not believe, this is Coach Davis said, this is happening right now. We already know that it's rampant in Pinellas and Hillsborough, well, the entire state of Florida.
Yeah.
Kids transferring because they don't like the coach. They don't see the program getting to that next level so they can get recognized. This is all a trickle down from what's going on in college football. They go to a program, they go to Boca Ciega, let's say. They're all district. They tear it up. Well, they're not getting the eyeballs from the coaches at the other level. Occasionally, you know, a kid will get recognized, and they're on the radar. Let's say that. And that's not happening unless you're a perennial power at school. You know, Lakewood's had 15 kids that have been in the league. So they know to go there and watch those games. They're not going to a Boca Ciega. So you got a kid there, and he's looking, and maybe he wants to go to CCC or one of these powerhouses in the area. It's getting worse. I thought it was bad before, and I think it's nauseating. But now with the name, image, and likeness, it's all about the money. And there's guys in the high school world, and there's agents going out right now and talking to high school kids saying, listen, you need to leave this school and get over here where you've got recognition so that I can cut deals for you. Now, that is terrible.
Yeah, no, it's getting absurd. And if it trickles into the high school world like it has been in college, it's going to make, high school sports make less meaning, because I know – you know, you play for your school. You play for your
school pride is going out,
but
it's going out the window.
Yeah, you play. You're supposed to play for your school that you've been, you know, all 4 years. Play with guys that you played for those all 4 years.
That's my prehistoric generation.
I mean, and now, I mean, you got guys who have gone to like three different schools.
Well, there's not going to be class reunions. There's not going to be, guys in their 60s like I do. I mean, I go back for almost every reunion for our football team. We were state champion. Just a bunch of old guys, you know, telling each other how great we were. But it's fun, and it's lasted for decades. That those things are gone. Same thing at the college level. You don't see the school pride. Graduation rates were bad enough in collegiate sports. Now they're going down even worse because they're essentially they're paid professional athletes.
Yeah, it's,
but now it's trickling down in our world in high school, Joe, and I think it's a horrible thing. And kids from Florida are transferring out of high schools. This is according to Coach Davis, out of high schools in Florida and going to even bigger powerhouses in Texas or California. They're getting recognized down here saying, listen, we've got stadiums that hold 30, 40,000 here in Texas. He gave me three incidents of 2025 graduates that are now leaving their schools. I'm not going to name them, leaving their schools here in the Tri-County area to go out of state. Now it's like everybody going to IMG.
Yeah, I mean, football is one of the tougher ones to get recruited for. So I mean, I can kind of see where if you're good, but maybe on a smaller team down here, I can understand maybe finding like a bigger school to play at, but moving out of state is a little absurd for a high school sport.
And that's the factor. And I know a guy in Orlando, and he's a good cat. He's a financial advisor, and he has been involved in the high school world for quite some time. He came at our media day for Pinellas County down here, Fergs, and he actually now is acting as an agent for high school kids.
Wow.
I can't even talk to him right now. But it's a cash grab. He's a real Christian man. He's making sure that the sharks don't come in and take advantage of him. But and again, we talk about we talked about this yesterday. The division in the locker rooms. So you're an all-star. I'm just a kid that came out and I'm working my tail off. I made the team. I'm excited about the camaraderie. But you're getting treated with kid gloves. We know you're getting a check for, you know, $15,000 for this season, and I'm working just as hard, maybe even and harder. I might be Rudy, and the bottom line is, it creates division and team chemistry goes away, and that's happened at the collegiate level. I know that for a fact.
Well, yeah, the college football teams, they get like 30, 40 new guys every year that played at a different college the year before, as well as the new recruits coming in. And so, I mean,
did you see this? Deion Sanders' son, what's his name?
Well, he, Shador.
Shador, since he's been in Boulder, the University of Colorado, has never taken a class in a classroom. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that.
And Prime said to him, you're missing out on the college experience. I thought, you hypocrite.
Yeah,
you were driving the ship towards the non-collegiate experience, the student athlete, the being in the campus and meeting, you know, guys that might be it might be a benefit in your future. I can't tell you how many guys, you know, and I got to admit that I missed a class or two as an athlete and just a little Division II school.
It happens.
After I went to Western Kentucky because I was focusing on sports. It was ignorant. But I met a lot of cool cats in those classrooms that became extremely successful. And I know three incidents in my life where that helped me developing those relationships. Now this is just me generation and hasn't been to a class since he's been there.
Hey, that's absolutely crazy. But I mean, he's getting his money. So I guess technically he doesn't need it.
Yeah, but for his dad to say, he's missing out on the experience.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go to class.
You're driving this ship there, Dion, on this entire thing. Tell your athletes, and he's pretty demanding of them, that I want to see you in classrooms, but not his own son. I want to see you guys in classrooms at least once a week. I think that's not asking too much.
No, I'd go to a class once a week, honestly. That's fine.
Well, that'd be nice of you.
My dad said he would talk to Warwick Dunn in between classes sometimes.
He'd exactly.
See him around Florida State and just say what's up. But, you know, I don't know.
It's a different era, but now it's even trickling down. And it's going to impact youngsters like you. And it's the greed that permeates at the professional sports level. Now college football is completely out there. And did you see, I know you follow this closely, did you see that Dabo Sweeney, Clemson, you know, he hates this portal.
Yeah,
deal.
He won't do it.
He won't do it. And he just got ranked a number four class of recruiting. And they're preseason ranking him for 2024 pretty high, the Clemson Tigers, without one portal transfer. I say bravo, but I guarantee you what's going to happen.
He needs to use the portal.
He's going to have to.
Once. I mean, if he used the portal last year, he would have beaten Florida State because if they just would have went out and got a kicker.
He's going to be.
Instead of bringing in that walk-on.
I don't care how much clout he's got. He's going to be ousted because the power brokers, and that's always the donors, the money guys, are going to say, Dabo, I don't care what you did in the past. Yeah. You got to get in the 21st century now.
You got to adapt.
Exactly.
And one guy who's done that, Norvell, I mean, he's been killing it in the portal both years at Florida State, this most two recent years. He's gotten about six transfers from Alabama thanks to Nick Saban leaving. A couple running backs, a receiver, a corner, younger guys, but also a couple starters. But, I mean, it's wild.
Well, how about the wide receiver that you guys got from Michigan State?
Yeah, Keon Coleman. He's going to be a first, second round draft pick. And from Michigan State. And then we had Verse, who was a transfer, but he came from like a smaller school, which is fine, like Albany, and then Fisk from Western Michigan. So, I mean, you had the guys that came from smaller schools. And
I like those stories.
Those are good stories. But then when you got guys who have played at like three different Power 5 schools, I mean, you got.
Those are prima donnas.
Dylan Gabriel was the starting quarterback for Oklahoma, and now he's transferring again to be a starting quarterback for a different team. It doesn't make sense to me.
Isn't he going to Washington?
He's going to Oregon.
He's going to Oregon, okay. He's going to Oregon.
And then you got the guys who, you know, have been in college for like 15 years playing. You got the guy in Miami who just got granted like his ninth year of eligibility.
Well, a lot of that had to do with COVID and injury. But
9 years. You're supposed to go to college for four.
Well,
and he's not a doctor.
Well, the reality is the NCAA has allowed that. That's not on the athlete. And it's the NCAA will never get their arms around this entire mess that they created. And the gentleman that I quote him quite often, Kirk Herbstreit, has said it's the wild, wild west. He said it when it first began, and it's gotten worse now, and no one will get their arms around this, and it would take 2 to 3 years. I don't know if they'll ever get their arms around it. And how can you? Did you follow any of the Iowa State issues with the athletes up there for gambling?
No.
Horrible. And we're obviously not national powers, even though I will put a little plug in for the great state of Iowa. If you take a look at tomorrow, when you've got the in the playoffs. You've got a quarterback from Iowa State for San Francisco and Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
You got an all-pro tight end, George Kittle. And then when you look over, you got Sam Laporta playing for Detroit.
Yeah, he killed the Bucs.
Exactly. Those are Hawks and Cyclones, just for the record. Anyway, this is what happened. The DCI, Department, the Criminal Investigation, Department of Criminal Investigation up in Iowa, for five athletes at Iowa, five athletes at Iowa State. They were trying to make a statement, and they caught them gambling. $5 bets, like Ben bought them here and there, $5, $10. And they ruined their names. They buried them in the mud of the press, which the press is backtracking now. It's going to be national news. It's getting to be national news because they wanted to make a statement against gambling apps. They didn't want them in the state of Iowa. So they used these two high-profile programs in Iowa. They are. They're the biggest game in the state. There's no pro teams. And now they're retracting. Everything they did was illegal. But these poor kids, it was going to be a starting quarterback, by the way. Purdy's brother is the starting quarterback now. He was a freshman, did a great job. But you're going to see more and more of that with the infusion of gambling in collegiate sports that it already has in the NFL.
Did you see the news that came out the other day about the LSU receiver that
he's in the pros already?
Keyshawn Booty, and he bet on himself in the game against Florida State in 2021, and
they jailed him.
Both didn't hit, and he bet, like, I forgot the number. It was over thousands of bets that he made over
19,000.
Yeah, something like that. And he didn't. The funny thing is that he didn't change, like, his username. His username was,
he's a buffoon.
His username was KBooty7, which was literally his name and his college number.
He's a buffoon.
Like, what are you doing?
So, but he gets drafted, and he's on an NFL roster. And now, he cleared bail. But they actually arrested him to make an example of him. But it's over and done. It's because he was a minor. That was it. He was a minor gambling in Louisiana. That was the issue.
I just think it was kind of funny that he used his real name and bet on himself.
It's not funny. It's sad that he's that ignorant.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, but it's ignorant. All right, let's talk a few more minutes, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get Oscar Garner III. I've only had three guests today. Stiff me now. It must be this craze down here with
you got
the Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble, Gasparilla.
Gasparilla. If you wanted to go to Gasparilla, they should have just told me. I don't care. I would have planned accordingly.
There's a Lightning game tonight. College hoops on.
What'd you think? You go to Lightning games. What'd you think about them having a Lightning game?
Yeah, I heard
the scheduling. That made absolutely no sense.
Get
Paul Porter's inside story there. That's just crazy.
If you're a marketer, it's a great day.
There's no doubt about it.
They're promoting it as a Gasparilla theme night. They got the
they don't have to fill that place on a Saturday night.
I'm just saying, you got the
parking.
The new Gasparilla themed jersey that they're going to be selling there tonight. All the merch, all the pirate themed things going around the arena. I mean, it's kind of like a holiday in Tampa, so why not have the beloved Lightning play on it? I mean, it is going to be a bit crazy down there.
And the Lightning are playing well. We didn't have our Wyatt Ross high school update, our little phenom. He's actually traveling. He's going to give us a call from the All-Star game. I think it's in Toronto.
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be there.
That's cool.
And he's doing a deal at halftime, and he's going to call in. I should have him call in to Paul Porter's show. He's going to call in to our show, and he's going to try to line somebody up. But that'd be kind of cool, live from the All-Star game next week.
Yeah.
And
just one All-Star for the Lightning this year, Kucherov.
MVP too.
Yeah, point race him and McKinnon. It's getting pretty crazy. So it should be a good little run. The Lightning, yeah, like you said, are red hot. They're in the third place now.
Okay, your predictions. I'm sure you did them yesterday on Bump That Media. Your predictions for tomorrow's NFC and AFC championships.
All right, I'm gonna take in the NFC championship. I'm gonna take the Niners. They got the way they just found a way last week against the.
If you were gambling, would you get the 7.5?
Yeah, probably.
Oh,
I mean, I think the way they found the way to win, I think they're gonna figure it out against the Lions. I think the Lions, the road will get to them. Their first playoff road game, probably for all those guys. And then the other game, I mean, after what Mahomes was able to do last week with all the attention about not being able to not playing in the road, I think he gets the job done again. And I think the Chiefs just keep quieting everybody and.
Do you really?
I do.
And the Chiefs are getting 3.5 points in Baltimore.
Yeah, I think they're going to win. So,
Okay. Well, I'll give mine when we're talking Oscar Garner third. Let's take a break. Big Ed, up there on the controls, putting up with me again. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll have a conversation with Michael Lortz. He'll talk about, we've already started the music out here at Ferg's. It's going to be a wild day. Come on down if you like that kind of environment. This is the place to be down here right across from the Trop at 8 o'clock. It is the Royal Rumble. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island. The waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster Benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint. The far out and peace-spreading Hippie Shack at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water in St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, brought to you by our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily, and they've got Wings Wednesday, Taco Tuesday. Tomorrow is Big Monday. We'll be down there, big cheeseburger. You get yourself a Shipyard pint, and you get yourself some fries for $10, and the beach is starting to fill up with all those stinking northerners, as I say. And then here I came. I just came down 7.5 years ago. At least you residents can say that with a lot of clarity. But he's Joe Geiger. He does a superb job for us, all of our social media, as well as the high school coverage and Bump That Media. Been doing that remotely with the gang. It's Gavin Van Dyke and what's JT's name?
JT Zulik.
JT Zulik. That sounds like a commentator name. JT Zulik on the sidelines.
Yep.
And he played, all three of you guys played ball together at Bogey, right?
Yep.
See? You got school camaraderie with the exception of that portal jumper, Gavin Van Dyke.
Well, he came to us. So it's all right.
He can't, yeah, but he jumped the portal. Yeah. All right. We're brought to you also by our good friends at Body Armor Coca-Cola Beverages. We got all kinds of things going to be taking place in 2024. We're adding an addition out here at Ferg's where we'll be holding quite often media days. That we have in their season-ending celebrations back out there, a lot more activity. We're also going to be calling more games on Florida Sports Streams. We did Sun Bash, called 12 games, and that was people loved that. We're going to do more and more of that. We're going to be calling the game on February 3rd, a week from today, actually, and that's the All-American football game up there in Zephyr Hills Christian Academy, and on the call will be Brad Richardson, need to get a color guy. Maybe you might have to do a little color there, Joseph, to expand your resume with your communication dreams.
Hey, whatever works.
You could do color. Here he is. Have you got stuck in some of that traffic? And he's Michael Lawrence. I've been talking about Michael. Of course, he is the author of Curveball at the Crossroads. He wrote for the Tampa Bay Times. He's an author. He was a writer. But that's not the reason I'm having him down here today. If you look across the street, it's kind of peaceful right now. Downstairs is kind of peaceful. We're preparing for a party.
Yep.
But at 8 o'clock, 42,000 of you nut jobs.
Whoa. We're not nut jobs. We are fans of pro wrestling. Excited. Enthusiastic.
Okay. I retract. No, I don't.
Fanatics.
There we go. Fanatics. I want to know where the fanaticism comes, because I got here about 10 o'clock. Here's this kid. Comes up to Jake Ferguson. He's got the belt. Now, this is at 10 o'clock. We are talking 10 hours from when it starts. Yep. And he says, "You guys open yet?" he gave him a little view of what's going to take place. We got bands, we got food trucks.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
There was four kids playing foosball up here. They got their belts. What's the deal with the belts?
So the belts. So it's so personally, I'm not a fan of owning replica belts. But if you want a replica belt, there's collectors out there. And WWE sells, fake belts and stuff like that on their website. There are legit collectors that try to buy the belts of 1970s belts. It's almost like collecting a bat or a glove or a hockey gear from, I've got a 1960s, Boston Bruins goalie mask.
Oh, my God.
Whatever. But the belts, obviously, you could throw them on your shoulder and you could go to the events wearing them and try to be like Stone Cold Steve Austin,
Well, you're a student of the game of baseball.
Oh, absolutely.
And, author and immersed in it. The last person, when you told me this several years ago, that I would thought would have been a fanatic in the world of pro wrestling is you. I thought the purity of sport was all you were concerned about.
Well, it's also theater. It's theater. It's also creative. So you got to think, I'm a creative writer. I love a good story. If you give me a good story in pro wrestling, I'm in. Now, there's good stories and there's bad stories. There's some really bad pro wrestling out there. It ain't at the WWE level, but it's at your local, VFW flea market. And you're watching and you're like, this guy's out of shape. This guy doesn't have good wrestling equipment. This storyline's terrible. These guys don't know how to put on a headlock. Why am I even here? But you get to WWE level, and these are Hollywood writers writing this stuff, too. They hire people from sitcoms to go write the storylines for pro wrestling. I've known one of them. And
so they're writing a story on the bad guy versus the good guy creating the characters.
Absolutely. They hire Hollywood acting coaches.
I mean, Friday nights on Fox, which is prime time, you'd think.
Yep.
Is WWE because of the ratings.
It's the ratings. And The Rock makes an appearance and the ratings triple. I mean, it's The Rock. And that's what made The Rock is one of the most successful entertainers in the world.
Now businessman.
Oh, now, yeah. He's
just this merger of the United Football League and XFL was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's on the board of the Empire.
Which
deservedly so.
Which the WWE merged, I guess. They kind of got bought out, kind of merged with the folks that do UFC. I guess TKO Enterprises or something like that.
Yeah, Dana White.
Dana White. And so, obviously, this week, there was a, Vince McMahon is...
Well, we touched upon that.
Shady character.
Buffoon that he is.
The sooner he's out of the business, the better. We don't need these old...
Especially now, you're publicly traded, and yep. and you're bringing in, ESPN with
Fox.
Dana White. You're bringing them in, and Fox, and you don't need that.
You don't need that. So
they said he resigned. I guarantee they said resign or you're done.
Oh, you're done. Or the deal's off, which would kill so many people underneath. I mean, from the guys that set up the lights to the wrestlers. And WWE, I don't know. It's probably on the other side of Tropicana Field. They probably got a good 20 production trucks. They roll in with the lights, the banners. The ring is one piece of it. It's the seats, the banners, the lights, the production crew alone. He's got to be several hundred people.
Well, 20 of the media people. You've been up in my little office upstairs.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're looking for a private place down here afterwards. Well, this place is going to be crazy.
Oh, it's going to be nuts.
So Mark, thinks the only thing is my office, which I don't care. You can't put 20 people up there.
Oh, no.
No. And some of these people, and it's going to be late, and they're going to be having some cocktails.
Oh.
That's a spiral staircase.
Oh, man. Somebody's going to get hurt.
No,
Somebody's going to.
When I get off the air, that's one of the things I'm going to lobby and say, you need to just block this
area.
Oh,
yeah. This is a good spot. This is good. I've never been here with the screened-in area right here. This is all new up here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We've got our golf simulators, bro.
Oh, I love it. I love it up here. I've been up here in I think, since last race season.
Oh, so, yeah. No, so we put these in. We put these in, and I kind of manage them. We do golf leagues, and we do our golf show from right here on the Tee, Florida.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, man, just great event today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great storylines. Folks like Cody Rhodes is big, you know, Dusty Rhodes' son. You've got him trying to win a belt that his dad never won. So you've got a lot of legacy stories. You got second, third generation wrestlers in this. You've got up and coming stars. 45,000 people are packed in Tropicana Field. That hasn't been the case since the 2008 World Series. That has been that. I might set an indoor record for the Tropicana Field.
I think they're expecting that tonight.
You figure a wrestling ring's a lot smaller than a baseball
field. Yeah, we talked about that. So you've got all those seats.
All those seats. Yep. Then you've got the way they're going to configure it with the ramps and everything for the wrestlers, and then you've got all the way up in the upper deck. I don't even think you need like the rings aren't going to block too much of your view if you're looking at a wrestling ring or looking at a whole baseball field. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you're going to need binoculars.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be small. But they're going to put a
big screen,
Jumbotron in the middle. WWE sets this all up. Like I said, there's probably a good 20, 30 production trucks. They come into your – remember when they were here during the pandemic?
Yep.
And they set up that
no
whole –
No fans.
The Thunder – no fans, but they set it up. They had basically an indoor arena set up on the baseball field with no fans, and that was all WWE stuff. The Rays were just like, hey, cool, pay us, you know.
Well, that's the beauty. It's a turnkey operation. They come in. Well, and then Monday they're over at Amalie Arena. Yep. You going there too?
Oh, looks like it. So I'm getting good seats for tonight, but I'm going to be up in the nosebleeds in Amalie.
Okay. What are your good seats costing?
So a few hundred. Ringside is probably close to 1,000.
For WWE.
It's big money. It's big money.
Oh my God. I just can't get my arms around it.
Have you ever been followed by Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, none of those guys?
My sons, when they were younger, and I took my son, who's 30 now, I took him when he was about 9 or 10 to see The Rock.
Okay.
30,000 people at Vets Auditorium in downtown Des Moines.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all going, this is why I call him nuts. He's 9 or 10 years old. I look over, I've got my other son who doesn't care. He's like me. And Benny is on the chair. And he's screaming at the top of his 9-year-old lungs.
Oh, yeah.
The Rock sucks. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is battling. The Rock sucks. I grab him and slam him back in the seat. And Michael goes, Pops, look around you. There's 30,000 adults screaming their guts out. The Rock sucks.
You know.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God.
You get into it, you know.
You think?
Well, you look at like a Muhammad Ali.
They get into their pocketbook, money they don't have.
Well, there's some big money. Wrestling's a $1 billion industry, and this is just the WWE $1 billion industry. AEW is another, that's probably the second biggest wrestling company. That's a $1 billion operation. They've got some business troubles, but some of the smaller ones, you know, and some of the wrestling is fly by night. You set up in a gym.
You were talking about some of the would they be like A-ball?
Very much like a minor league system.
Yeah, around Florida, there's quite a few. You said.
So my brother wrestled.
That's what your brother.
My brother wrestled for about 12 years. He had some WWE tryouts, but long story short.
Did he make any money, your brother?
At the WWE level, you do. At the minor league level, if you make enough for gas, you know, it's almost like being in a band, though. Like if you're playing here and you got eyeballs on you for this event right here, you know, you're playing outside of Ferg's, and you're in a band, and Ferg is like, look, I'll give you everybody like $50. But you got eyeballs on you right here. You know, and that's what wrestling, you want those eyeballs because you want to get it signed to a contract and then be able to make a living with it. So, granted, you're not going to get hit with a steel chair when you're playing in drums at a band and at a show. So these guys are putting their...
How long did your brother do it for?
He's
12 years?
He's been doing it. Well, he did it regularly for 12.
He's still doing it?
He still does it occasionally. He's probably done it for about 20 total. Off and on in the last 10. But he was steady for about 12. I mean, he wrestled for Off of the Wild Samoan in the Orlando area. And Off of the Wild Samoan's a WWE Hall of Famer. wrestled from about the late 60s all the way to the 80s. Just had to open up a training school. He's been training wrestlers for about 30 years.
His whole
family is in wrestling, cousins, and The Rock is his, like, The Rock is basically his nephew. It's not nephew by blood, but it's his in the family, you know.
Family tree.
The current wrestling champion, Roman Reigns, is his direct nephew. There's been wrestling, just good 20 people in his family.
Okay, now who determines who's going to be the champion?
So,
because it's all staged.
It's predetermined. It is
staged.
Predetermined, Mike. Come on, we don't expose the business. It's a business decision. It really becomes a business decision. Roman Reigns is the current champion. He's been a champion for 3 years of one of the belts. There's multiple belts. So you got the heavyweight champion. He's been over 1,000 days. And then you got smaller belts. It becomes a business decision. You don't want it to get stagnant. You don't want the fans to get stagnant. You know, if one guy holds the belt for 5 years and nobody comes close to beating him, that's a boring show. You know, it's just kind of boring. So it's like, you know, think of it as boxing or something. And somebody's just knocking somebody out every time, or a gladiator. It's the Roman gladiators. And you just got one guy just laying waste to everybody. Nobody's going to pay money to see that eventually. They're going to be like, this is boring. Or any kind of sport where somebody dominates. If somebody strikes out every single batter, that's boring television. Because you're just like, eh, and no, there's no competition. So it is simulated competition. You get guys that look similar, they look different sizes, and you put on an entertaining show. And if, you know, that's why, if you got a guy that's 7 feet tall and he's running through people, well, you better find a muscular guy to fight him, because, you know, you don't want him to just squash everybody. And that's another wrestling term there. So you want the fans, you want to put butts in the seats. The number one thing is butts in the seats.
Well, I gather all that. I just wondered, you know, how broad the demographic is.
It's everybody.
It's got to be.
It is everybody.
And it
you know, it used to be wrestling was wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N.
Oh, yeah.
And only the hillbillies, the rednecks, you know, like, you had that thing, we'll walk from the trailer park with no teeth and suspenders. And wrestling in the 80s went global. And it's continued to go global. The Rock is a billionaire. You know, Hulk Hogan's a multimillionaire. These guys are opening restaurants, and they're opening their own line of tequila, and they are making money. They're going into Hollywood. John Cena's another one who's made that leap.
Oh, yeah, and been extremely successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So when they see the talent. They see the athleticism. They see the talent. They've seen, you know, Ronda Rousey went from UFC. Brock Lesnar's gone from UFC to wrestling.
I forgot about those two.
Yep, then...
Hey, we got to switch gears on you.
Okay.
But I appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely.
Updating this. We've got to go to Oscar Garner III. He's in Detroit. We got to talk about the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers doing battle in the NFC Championship in the Bay Area tomorrow. And I know that there'll probably be quite a contingent from the Motor City out there, my man.
Man, usually football's been over for a little while out here. How you doing, Mike? It's good to be back on the show.
Yeah, great to hear you, man.
How you been?
Good, guys. Yeah, look, Detroit is hype right now. You can feel people getting more and more excited by the day. I've been taking client meetings all week, and every single conversation is, oh, man, the Lions got people at the game saying they're blowing out eardrums in there. It's super loud at Ford Field, but this week we're in San Francisco, but I know the Detroit faithful are going to travel well, and we're going to play a good game. It's going to be an exciting matchup. I got a little bit of analysis here. I got some bets I want to talk about. But I also want to talk about the Ravens, right? We got a good matchup with the Ravens. They're going to be hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to be trying to get us to avoid a Taylor Swift Super Bowl, something that nobody wants, right? So got a little bit on that, too. But, Mike, where do you want me to start, man?
Wherever you want, young man. I like that Lions was in 7.5 points. I don't know why. I just like that. I think Dan Campbell will have this team ready. I'm not saying they're going to win. With the news that Dabo's going to be ready to roll, I think that's a big factor, a huge factor actually. And I think after last year, knowing that they would have probably made it to the Super Bowl, this is one motivated San Francisco 49ers team. But I love the story. I think three-quarters of America is pulling for the Lions, and that's my take.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head. Dan Campbell's win rate against the spread, 72%, right? You don't get much more of a better batting average than that when it comes to guys against the spread, right, especially in underdog situation. I'm definitely taking Lions with the point. And I don't think it's that crazy to take the Lions to win here. One thing that you got to focus on in this game is that you have two of the top three run defenses in professional football. 49ers playing at a historic clip, but the Lions actually allowing even less rushing yards and rushing yards per attempt. Like I said, top two out of three. I would watch to see this be more of a passing game, and I would see David Montgomery taking more snaps, right? You probably have Jahmyr Gibbs going to be more in the passing game, using the power back to get those struggle yards in between the hashes, and then using Jahmyr Gibbs in the passing game to open things up for Jared Goff. If you're going to take anybody for rushing touchdowns on the Lions side, definitely got to go more to the David side. And then if you flip over, look, Christian McCaffrey's a beast, but if you look at his schedule, he hasn't played a rushing defense this good. Everybody else has been outside of the top eight, top nine this season. He's going to have a real test here. I would see him more in the passing game. I would say if you're going to take an under on anybody's yards, look to see George Kittle getting more into blocking, because this Detroit front seven is rejuvenated, it's healthy, it's back at it, and it's great at getting after the quarterback and getting rushing pressure as well. So I would say Kittle's probably not going to be all that great in the passing game. Under on his yards, Christian McCaffrey over on his passing, and I'd say David Montgomery's got to get a touchdown here if the Lions want to win the game.
You know how I love my state of Iowa, and well represented on the 49ers side with Iowa State's Brock Purdy, quarterback George Kittle, the Hawkeye. Then on the other side, the Detroit Lions, Sam LaPorta, University of Iowa Hawkeye graduate, and David Montgomery, an Iowa State graduate. So, if you're an Iowan, you're kind of flipping the coin, or you're either a Cyclone or a Hawkeye fan. It's a tough call because you got one that's making a difference and two that's making a difference on each team. Kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know if Hard Rock's got any lines on Iowa college descendants.
Come on, they should, man.
Here. But no,
we got enough problem with Iowa and Iowa State with this DCI investigation on the athletes that turned out to be a sham. You'll see more about that. It'll be all over ESPN that took place last summer and ruined two kids or more than two kids' college scholarships and their futures.
Okay, yeah, no, I haven't heard about that, but definitely want to hear more once that story develops more. But back to this Lions game, I definitely want to call out one more thing for the people that you're going to have, it's going to be exciting to see. I think we're going to have a real shootout here. Like I said, the running defense on both sides is crazy. But now, what does that mean for winning the game? If you can't get the run game going, you can't get your play action going, well, you have to utilize the weapons on the field. I think Deebo Samuel, he's active. You have all the weapons on the Lions side. They're ready to go. They're going to have to unlock some players to get some special yards. J-Mo's going to have to get going. But it's going to fall on the quarterback. We need Jared Goff to play good football. He's got to throw the ball well, protect it, make the check down when it's given. Brock Purdy's got to be really good at game management, and he's probably going to have to go above and beyond what he's done in other games, right? Maybe even scrambling, getting out, getting the ball downfield, because those rushing yards aren't going to be there. Now, we only got a few minutes left, so I do want to flip over, because I'm a big Lamar guy, and this is a huge legacy game for the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, and of course, we're up against the Swifties of the world who want to see Travis Kelce back in the Super Bowl so they can get every touchdown is going to be a Taylor Swift fan cam, basically. But when we're looking at this Chiefs game and this Ravens game, you have a Chiefs team that was top five this year in turning the ball over. they had great success, don't get me wrong, but they can't hold on to, I mean, they can't take care of the ball, whether that be rushing, whether that be picks from Kadarius Toney getting the ball picked or something like that. They couldn't take care of the ball this season. And now you have a Ravens team that led the league in sacks, has led the playoffs in sacks, and has been top five in taking the ball away. I think the Ravens are really going to have to get, are really going to get after the QB. But is Patrick Mahomes still the scrambler, still able to get away? Can he be elusive enough to avoid all that? But can his receivers step up, right, all season? Rashee Rice is the best guy out there catching the ball outside of Travis Kelce. Will these other guys be able to step up and beat them in the passing game? I think the Ravens win this. I really do have a lot of confidence in what Lamar has been able to put together this season. I think the Ravens win this off of defensively giving the ball back to their QB, winning the time of possession, and giving Lamar Jackson a chance to go down the field several times. I think the Chiefs, they're going to have to be very picky about what they do in their drives, because I don't think they're going to get a lot of them. I'm taking Ravens and I'm taking Lions in the Super Bowl. Oh, man, that would be great for me.
All right, brother. Well, we got to wind things down here. We got the Royal Rumble across the street, that Tropicana Field. Too bad you don't live down here still. I'll give you a shot a little bit later on, a couple things I want to talk about. And keep an eye on the Lakewood Spartan Vasquez for the Chiefs. He might be a sleeper tomorrow as well.
Hey, speaking of which, Michigan State hosting Michigan at the Breslin. I might be up there. So I might send some pictures in for the people on Facebook.
Do that, brother. All right. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. See ya.
All right, Michael. We got 2 minutes. One last parting promotion for tonight, and where are you going to be? What are you dressing up like?
Well, sometimes I bring an Afro wig. I might bring that in there. Depends on if the person behind me can see.
God.
I think I'm going to go out on a limb and say Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble and Roman Reigns retains the title.
Where do I place my bet?
There is some wrestling betting out there.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I appreciate you getting down here. We'll have you back on. How do people find the book?
Curveball at the Crossroads. It's a baseball fiction story. It was runner-up book of the year here in Tampa Bay in 2021. You can find it at curveballatthecrossroads.com.
Okay, we're going to have a baseball store in about show in about 2 weeks when the catchers and pitchers report.
Let's do it.
All right, my man. Well, I appreciate you coming down. It's going to be a wild one down here. For Roddy Soccer, Jim Hart, Brad Richardson, Oscar Garner III, of course, Michael Lortz, John Ruggles, Big Ed, the birthday man, on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.